Amen. Thank you, Richard. Good morning all once again. If you can open up your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 10. You might have seen on the overhead before that we are here this morning to celebrate what God has done not only in our own lives, but also those who serve us both here and in the community. We're talking about what it means to celebrate, but we're going to do it a little bit differently. I want to talk to you this morning about the marks of a humble servant. One of the things on my heart is that our church is known for its humility. As people move about from this church, and I mean what I mean by this church, I mean the Anchor Church itself, not the worldwide church, but we hope that that's the case. But this church, as we move about in society, that the marks of humility will be one of the things that we are known for. That we are not proud people. We are not self-serving, but we seek to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and the other people that are around us. And I hope that in your journey of faith, wherever you are, that that is part of who you are. Not self-seeking, self-serving, self-promoting, but God-seeking, God-serving, and God-promoting. And we get a picture of this in this passage this morning. So let's read from verse back from verse 32 to set the picture of what's going on here. So Mark chapter 10, verse 32, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them that was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Pause there for a moment. Why are they afraid? Because back in 8:29, when Jesus asked who do these people say that he is, and then he gives a bit of a lecture to them, and Peter says, "You are the Son of God," you know, the Messiah. And then he started to teach them about all things he must suffer. So in their mindset, they knew where they were going and they were fearful. They knew that they were going because Jesus was going to suffer. They got the message really clearly, and especially Peter got the message. When he pulled Jesus aside, I love that picture. You know, you get Peter, who's a guy after my own heart, a little bit mouthy, always had a word to say out of season. And it's like he grabs Jesus' arm, I can see it, he says, "Listen, that's not going to happen. You just come over here for a minute. I just want to talk to you. You've got it all wrong." And Jesus' response is, "You don't have the mind of God, you have the mind of men." And he refers to him, "Get behind me, Satan." He got the message. So they knew they were heading towards Jerusalem. Let's pick up the story again in verse 35. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one on your left in your glory." I want you to get that picture. When Jesus went to be in the glory after he was taken up, whose right hand did he sit at? God's. Now, I want you to think about that. One of them wanted to sit on the lap of God. That's asking a little bit much, don't you think? He wanted a position of prominence. They wanted to be either side of the master in a place of prominence. And we then start to see this unfold. "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those of whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and offer his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus, I think, is the most humble man that ever transversed and trod this earth. He had an advantage. He was the Son of God and God himself in his deity. But this, my friends, is the template that I always go to when I get a bit ahead of myself. You know, when I start to get... I start to think to myself, focus on Jesus. Think of Philippians. Start to realize that Jesus was the one who saved me. Frail, fallen, fallible human being Daryl, before a righteous and holy God who Jesus said, come to me, Daryl, and I will save you from your sin. And I have never, ever, ever tried to forget that passage of Scripture, this one. Because you see, Jesus is focusing their attention on what the hallmarks of humility and a humble servant means. Our church goes out and has tentacles right throughout this community and beyond. From Tawa to Kapiti Coast to the Hutt Valley, we have our tentacles in our communities. And the one thing we need to address is our own, what we believe is our self-worth, whether we are promoting ourselves or whether we are promoting Christ as a humble service, humble servant. Now you might think, what has this got to do with celebration? You're actually giving us a lesson here. Because I want to celebrate what I see in the people in this church. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Our template for humility, for acts of service, is deeply embedded in what Christ has done for us. And the template should be his to follow. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So what is people? Who is Paul pointing people to? Jesus. He is the one that I follow. So you follow me as I follow him alone. And give of your life. This humble person in John 5:18, it says, parts of it, it says, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was even calling his own father, God his own father, sorry, making himself equal to God. If anyone was to claim deity and promote himself, it would be Jesus, right? But no, he wanted to be a servant for all humanity. You know, we as believers in Christ can't get rid of the hashtag. You know, if you're a Twitter follower and you get the hashtag going on, we are to be committed in humility to seek God in all circumstances and serve him in all circumstances. You see, if you promote each other and build each other up in the Lord, that is good. But if you're trying to promote each other so they can take a higher office or get this way and that way, that is not good. We promote each other to continue in our service, to encourage one another, to grow in faith, to grow in love, to grow in humility, to grow in service. You will be accused by sheer nature of believing in Jesus Christ as intolerant and arrogant. Because we say there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. In this day and age, that's arrogant and intolerant. Yet we live according to the hashtag, I follow Jesus, the only way to glory. People are happy when we do nice things. I stand out in that foyer in the first school holiday, first week of the school holidays in July. And the people come rolling through the door. And they're happy to be here. And that's fantastic. Because we're doing a good thing for the community. But it's when they sit down in here and they make the crafts and they play the games and they learn about Jesus. That's the most important thing. You know, my mother, I may have shared this with you before, when Stella and I and the kids went to the mission to serve with Mobile Mission Maintenance in Country Victoria for 3 years. Before we left, we did the mandatory thing that missionaries do, is we had these little prayer cards. And we had our family, and some of them were a bit short and had to be elevated a bit higher, but that's okay. And it was a very nice photo of our young family with a couple of, an old fella there and a very delightful lady next to her. And we gave one to my mum. And when we went around to visit her when we came back for a holiday, I looked around. I couldn't see our prayer card anywhere. I said, "Oh, Mum, where's our prayer card?" She said, "Oh, I got it in the cupboard." She said, "I'm really happy you're doing really nice things and good things for the community, but I don't want to tell anyone what you're doing." And then when I went back and went to Bible college, no more discussion at all from anyone in our family. She said, "They were happy for me to do good things, nice things for people, you know, in Uganda and Zambia and Thailand and the Philippines and South Africa. They were happy that I was sending people to do building works. But when I came, that I was standing for Christ, even though I was standing for Christ in the mission, when I was making an overt statement, I am going to teach the Word of God and we're going to get into ministry as a pastor in a church and lead people to Christ, woo. That became a whole new level. A whole new level. And do you know what? That's what it takes to stand apart, and I'm not boasting in myself, because Jesus is the one that's got me to do this stuff. But that's what it takes. Not withdrawing, but standing forward. Not regressing, but pushing forward. Not retreating, but in persistence, say, "I am here." I have a fortunate position as the pastor in a New Zealand church. And I'll tell you why. When I go to the shops or I go anywhere, the first thing they hear is Aussie. Not like the eastern seaboard ones that talk through their nose like that. The Victorians are nearly there. They're not, you know, they're okay. And they say, "What are you doing here?" Well, what am I going to say? I work for a global enterprise. I say, "I'm a pastor of a church." How many times does that happen, honey? All the time. We're in the hospital. Took one of my family members in to have some tests. And an old guy, a policeman, sat there. I may have shared this. Sat there. And his wife, who used to be a nurse, retired couple. And he had some male medical problems. And we were talking. He says, "Oh, you're an Aussie. What are you doing here?" I said, "I pastor a church." And we went into another room and he sat right in front of me. And he shared all the things that he's seen, and that's why he can't believe in a loving God. But you'd have an answer for that. Three times he said, "You'd have an answer for that." So I gave him the answer for that. And we had a really amicable conversation. And I shared the love of my church and how the people in my church, I see them wanting to serve and share the love of Jesus that you don't see to the people around them. They're committed to the people that are around them. But here's a few things that I want us to get really clear on what it means to be a humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is that God always gets the credit. always gets the credit. Sure, encourage one another, but God always gets the credit. Turn right with me to 1 Corinthians. Just a few verses. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And 27, for consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the... Oh, come on. Let the one who boasts boast in the... That's it. I tell you this, from my heart to yours, when I hear things like this, I wouldn't drive through Cannons Creek. True enough, right? True enough. I wouldn't drive through Cannons Creek. I got to say this from my heart to yours, that is the biggest snobbery that I've ever heard of. And I'll tell you why, because that means you wouldn't have associated with me when I was born. Because I grew up in a double house, brick house, in a housing commission estate, in a blended family with seven kids and a mum and dad who weren't married, living on the bare bones of their bottom, eating pigeons that were grown so we could have roast meat on a Sunday, mum and dad growing vegetables in the backyard. That is not the hallmarks of a humble person, because you wouldn't have wanted me. And yet my next door neighbour, Kent, in the same situation, said, surely can I take Daryl to Sunday school to learn about Jesus? Get him out of here. You see, humility starts when you can look people in the eyes and see what Jesus sees. When Stella and I used to spend time at the netball courts and we'd talk to all manner of people, I just used to love it. The cultural diversity that we saw, the beautiful picture of all these people coming together to watch a sport, and all the parents complaining that their child wasn't on the court. And my daughter should be on before that one. I pray, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, if your daughter is playing on the court or not playing on the court, that you will be gracious. Oh, Lord, the things I've heard. He gets the glory for who you are. He is the one we focus on. He is the one that we ensure will be promoted at all costs. I want you to note verses 29 and 31 again. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God, and verse 31, that no one might boast except in the Lord. You know, I am thankful that the focus is taken away from me as your pastor, because I can only point you to Jesus. I can only open my Bible up and instruct you what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, to help you in all the trouble that you're in so that you may endure. I am hopeful that in all of our service that we point people towards Jesus, that we encourage each other in the Lord. That's where humility starts, that God gets the glory for the great things that he has done. Does he get the picture? Okay. Wow. I've got to keep moving. Second one, God enables you. Just flick over to chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verse 6 and 7. I have applied all things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favour of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive it? If then you receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? I love our church's diversity in skills, the intellectual side of it, the practical side of it, the loving offerings that people give. But what I'm not interested in is your church history. I'm not interested in your proclamation of how long your family line goes down in denominational church history. I'm only interested in what you're doing with your faith, not what your pastor's been. I'm only interested in those things. I'm interested in the influence you have in the community because of who you believe in. I'm interested in your gracious acts of service, which our church does in the community and with each other. You see, we can't have that slightest hint of pride. We have to be gracious with what we have and who we are, serving others and not ourselves. I want to remind you of a beautiful passage of Scripture. Can you turn with me to Ephesians? And yes, we're bouncing around a little bit, but we need to continue to paint this picture. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, memory verse. And for it is grace, through grace you have been saved, through faith. Keep going. It's not of your own. It is a gift of, not result of, works, so that you may not. Okay. Stop there for 1 second. Now, the next verse, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, who's he talking to? Come on. Speak loud. Ephesian church. Is he talking just the disciples or everybody? The saints. Everybody. You need to be reminded that God enables you to do that, and he had planned works. Exercise your role in the church and in your faith. Everyone shoulder to the wheel, doing what they have been called to do. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Flick over to the right. What did I say then? 3, 12 and 13. Welcome, kids. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So that you almost must forgive, always must forgive. Kids, when someone does something against you in the school ground, or someone does something in the kindy, or you're playing with a friend at mainly music, if you're that age, and they rip a toy off you, be gracious. Hand them another one give them two toys. I'm glad you're here because we're talking about what it means to love Jesus and love each other and be humble. That means focus on Jesus. When your teachers serve you and teach you things down in kids, Anchor Kids, I'm going back old. Anchor Kids, they're doing the very best thing they can do for you. Because they love Jesus and they love you guys and they want you to know him. Do you know that's what the teachers are doing for you? No? Yes? Well, they are. And they're trying to help you understand what it means to live in a community. that love each other. And when I say love each other, that's a cheap word today, isn't it? I love this, love that. I don't mean loving stuff. I mean truly loving and wanting the best for that other person. And it's timely, it costs time, it can cost resources, it can cost effort, and sometimes it can cost your sanity. So continue to seek each other out in everything. Remember Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but serve and offer his life as a ransom for many. There's an old Skyhook song. Anyone remember the Skyhooks from the 70s? Oh, come on. Thank you. At least we've got one person older than me. I want you to listen to the lyrics of the song. This is a song. If you did not have an ego, you might not be here tonight. If I did not have an ego, I might not think I was right. If you did not have an ego, you might not care the way you dress. If you did not have an ego, you'd be just like the rest. Ego is not a dirty word, three times repeated. Don't you believe what you've seen or you've heard? If Jesus had an ego, he'd still be alive today. And if Nixon had an ego, he might not be in decay. If you did not have an ego, you might not care too much about who won. You'd better keep it in good shape, exercise it daily, and get it out on tape. Don't you believe what you've seen or you heard? Ego. That's a sad tale of how self-promoting, even though I used to tap and sing to that song back in 1975. The humility of every person in this church is to promote Jesus Christ and be great in the eyes of the Lord for what you're doing for his sake. We are to focus clearly on his suffering servanthood. We are to focus on what he's done for you. How he's lifted you from the pits of despair when you've said yes to him. And he's pulled you out of the mire. And he's placed you in the heavenly realms. My prayer is that we will continue to learn humble obedience to Christ. Our church, unless we band together and stick together and serve together and love each other, will never survive the journey in a modern world. There is a sad tale. There are churches ripping themselves apart at the moment. People looking for positions and authority and everything else in their church. And they're killing themselves. And they're dissipating. Because they're focusing on the wrong things. I charge you, I urge you, as Paul would often say, that you focus on the one who paid the price for you. And when you get that picture of what it means to be a humble servant, like I see time and time and time again in this church, the very best will be done for other people, both in here and out there. The very best. You see, the church only thrives when the gospel is presented. I might reshape a well-known speech that was coined some time ago in an inauguration of a US president. And so I ask you, my fellow Christians, ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church for the sake of the gospel and its proclamation. And in light of that, you can live at peace with one another. And in light of that, you can love God. And in light of that, you can love and love each other and love the people who contradict. So to all of those who give of their time and their resources and their talents that God had before the foundation of the world for you, as he said, as he called you to himself and you said yes, I want to thank you. I want to thank you on behalf of the elders. I want to thank you on behalf of the ministry leaders who you serve with. I want to give gratitude to God for every effort you make to be the children of God and to do the very best you can to present Him as faithful. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to God for you all. May you be blessed. May you be encouraged. May you be strengthened in faith. And may the cake we eat afterwards not cause you diabetes. But I want you to rejoice in who you know. Are we happy? Oh, my Lord. Conservative. Let me pray and invite the music team to come back up. That's not bad for me, Richard. Only 3 minutes over. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, I thank you so much today as we celebrate what you've done in each and every one of our lives. First, calling us to yourself, and we've said yes because we recognize that Jesus Christ was put on a cross, died for our sins, was put in a grave and buried for our sins, and then left to be with you and raised again for our sins from the grave on the third day. And he sat down at the right hand. He left the Spirit behind to empower us for acts of service. And he mediates for us to the Father. Father, I thank you for everyone who shows kindness and love one to another, knowing that it is a body. As a body, we produce good works in your name. Father, may we never get ahead of ourselves and recognize who we're doing it for, who we love, who we care about. Because one day, Father, I know I'm excited that I will look upon your Son, the one who was pierced for my sin, and eternally give him thanks and praise him with all my heart. Thank you in Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen.